This morning we continue looking at resurrection stories, remembering that we are an Easter people. Although we celebrated Easter a few short weeks ago, we continue every Sunday to have a little Easter celebration. We are resurrection people. We are Easter people who continue to celebrate the resurrection. We've looked over the course of the last few weeks at some of the resurrection stories in the Bible, some of the appearance stories where Jesus has made himself known to Mary. Remember Mary at the tomb, and then Mary went into all the world to tell the world that Christ was alive. And then we talked after Easter about the resurrection appearance when the disciples didn't quite believe what Mary had to say. They thought perhaps she was a little crazy. And so they were meeting behind a locked door, and Jesus came among them. And as Jesus came among them, he reminded them that because of the resurrection, we have a way of forgiveness. Because of the resurrection, God paves a way for us to receive forgiveness. And then remember Thomas. Thomas wasn't with them on that encounter. And so it was a bit later that they were gathered again. And Thomas said, well, I'm not going to believe what you tell me unless I see it for myself. And we talked about how the resurrection allows us to believe even those things that we cannot see. We cannot always see God at work in our life, but because of the resurrection, we can believe that God is in the midst of the darkest places, shining hope and light and grace. And then last week we read a story about the disciples having breakfast on the beach. Remember, they had been out fishing all night and hadn't caught anything, and they encountered Jesus, and Jesus invited them to cast their net in a different direction, to not do things the way they'd always done them. And when they cast that net in a different direction, there was an abundant amount of fish. And so we were reminded that because of the resurrection, God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. Sometimes we like to put limits on what God is able to do, but because of the resurrection, because we serve a risen Savior, God can do and will do the impossible. This morning, we have another story where Peter and Jesus find themselves having a conversation after they've had that breakfast on the beach, after they've eaten together that fish that Jesus made the charcoal fire and grilled the fish for them, and after they ate and were fed, Peter and Jesus had this conversation. I invite you to hear from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He then said to him the third time, Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he'd said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you to where you do not wish to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Growing up in youth group, I learned a number of different youth group games. But one in particular that comes to my mind when I think about this question that Jesus is asking over and over again, Peter, do you love me? Is this game that we would play called, If You Love Me, You'll Smile. So here's how the game goes. You're seated in a circle, and you have to go up to one of your friends, and perhaps in a silly or a strange voice or with a funny look on your face, you have to say to them, honey, if you love me, you'll smile. And the point of the game is to get them to laugh, to get them to smile. But they have to be able to respond back. If they're going to be stoic and not smile, they have to be able to respond, honey, I love you, but I just can't smile. So the game goes like this. Honey, do you love me? If you love me, you'll smile. And the person has to decide whether they're going to crack that smile or they're going to stand there stoic and say, honey, I love you, but I just can't smile. Well, in the youth group that I grew up in, this game ended in loads and loads and loads of laughter. No one seemed to be able to make it through that response, honey, I love you, but I just can't smile. Because quite frankly, whenever the person was asking the question, it's like the smile was just bubbling up inside, and the laughter and the joy that the other people were experiencing was just coming out, and we had a really great time playing this game. So there's Jesus and Peter asking the same kind of question. Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of John. So Jesus is reminding Peter that he knows exactly who he is. Remember, over and over, Jesus has told us that he knows us by name. So Jesus is reminding Peter, I know exactly who you are. You're that boy who was the son of John. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, of course I love you, says Peter. Jesus says, then get busy. Get busy and feed my lambs. And he asked him again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, then tend my sheep, says Jesus. And a third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter begins to feel a little hurt. A little hurt because Jesus has now had to ask him three times, do you really love me? Peter says, Lord, you know everything about me. Yes, absolutely, I love you. And then Jesus makes clear the mission that's given to those of us who've encountered the resurrection. Jesus says, then Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's important for us to note in this conversation between Jesus and Peter, that remembering Peter has denied Jesus how many times before the crucifixion? Three. Three times, here's Peter, the same person who's being asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This is the same person who prior to the crucifixion said, I don't know that man. Nope, don't know him. Oh, weren't you the guy? Weren't you one of those disciples? Nope, not me. I don't know him. And so it's important for us to note here that it's almost as if, or it is as if, that Jesus is giving Peter this second chance, this opportunity for redemption, by asking him the same number of times that he denied Jesus, three. Now he's asking him three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? That's the most important question that Jesus wants to know. He wants to get to the heart of what's going on with Peter. Do you love me? And if you love me, Peter, then you will feed my sheep. You might remember the great passage in the Gospel of John where Jesus calls himself the great shepherd. He knows his sheep and they recognize his voice. So this imagery of sheep and shepherd is something that's important in the Gospel of John. And so here Jesus is continuing on with that imagery. Peter, those sheep, those people that are out in the field, they're who are important to me. So if you're going to say you love me, then your job is to feed those sheep. Three times he's asked to see if he loves him. And then there's a response from Jesus. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep, feed my sheep, take care of the flock that's left behind. Peter then, friends, is a model for us, a model for what it means to be a follower of Christ. Peter is offered a second chance, maybe even a third chance, a fourth chance, to get it right, to see if he truly is a follower of Jesus the Christ. And Peter models this for us, because the reality is that each and every one of us have been offered this second, third, fourth, fifth, an infinite number of chances for us to get it right. We have a God that embraces unconditional love, continues to reach out to us, and invites us to love back in return. Peter, do you love me? It's Peter's second chance. It's his redemption. It's his opportunity to get it right. We are all offered this kind of second chance. This morning we have the opportunity to celebrate with someone who's come among us the amazing second chance, or maybe she might call it her third chance or her fourth chance. It doesn't matter. To celebrate how God has worked God's redeeming love in her life. Ashley came to our church several months ago. She's a part of our NA ministry that meets here on Thursday evenings. And Ashley had come to NA as she battled her addiction and as she fought her way to recovery and as she reclaimed the redemptive power in her life to say no to the things that once controlled her and to allow a power greater than herself to be in control of her life. So Ashley had come here for NA, and when her daughter, her young daughter Serenity, said she wanted to go somewhere to church, Ashley decided this would be a safe place to come. She'd already come down in the basement of our church at the NA meeting, but now she was going to step out and take the courage to come to church on Sunday morning because her daughter Serenity wanted to come. Now Ashley would tell you that she wasn't coming to church for herself. She was coming for Serenity. Serenity wanted to be in church. Serenity wanted to hear about Jesus's love, but that wasn't for Ashley. Ashley knew this was a safe place that she could bring her daughter to find the embracive love of God found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But it wasn't for her. Yet she took the courage to bring Serenity here. And over the course of the last several months, God has worked in amazing ways in Ashley's life. A few short weeks ago, Ashley says to me, after my not really wanting to pressure her, she was very clear, I'm here for Serenity. She went to Sunday school and she listened, but she was here for Serenity. A few weeks ago, Ashley said to me, I feel different when I come here. I feel different when I come here. I actually look forward to coming here. What would it mean to join this church? In the course of that conversation that happened right up in the CFC, right before Sunday school, Ashley and I had a powerful conversion kind of conversation where Ashley got to understand that the best way to know God is to see Jesus Christ as the living, breathing expression of God. She didn't have a hard time confessing Christ, but it was this God piece that was hard for her to wrap her mind around. But God, in God's amazing way, used this church to be God's expression of love. And Ashley's taking hold of her second chance. Ashley was baptized as a child in the Catholic Church, but today she comes to profess her faith in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for the Peters and the Ashleys in this world, who God continues to offer them over and over a chance. Do you love me? Do you love me? When we answer yes, of course, Lord, you know that we love you, we receive a mission. We receive a mission, and that's what the resurrection is about. It's about us receiving the mission that Jesus Christ is alive. But Jesus Christ isn't just alive for us. Jesus Christ is alive for the world around us. And we have the mission to go into the world and feed God's sheep. To go into the world and share the amazing love of God with everyone that we encounter. We are invited to live out our love for Jesus by loving and serving our neighbor. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Our mission is to share the love that we have found through God with the world around us. The mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We get hung up on a lot of other things as United Methodists. We get frustrated by particular things that we perhaps don't agree with, or how the church struggles to find its way forward. But at the end of the day, our mission, our purpose is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Period. We can do a lot of things, but if we're not making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, then we're not fully living out the question that Jesus asks us: do you love me? Do you love me? Because if you love me, then you will feed my sheep. Love, friends, is not just a word on a piece of paper. It's not just a simple feeling that passes with whatever might come my way. Love is an action. Love is a verb. It's an activity. It's feeding sheep. It's getting our hands dirty. It's going into the community and into the world to find the people that God longs to be welcomed into God's loving embrace. And you and I are the ones called to take on that mission. The mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The mission of loving and serving our neighbor in need. Thank goodness. Thank goodness that we're a church that opens our doors to recovery ministries like NA and Alalon. Because who in the world knows how God might work through those recovery ministries to make sure that more and more people find a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that someone who walked in the door for her daughter didn't just find some people who turned the other way. You know, that's what happens when some people visit churches. We all recognize the visitor, and we turn the other way. Continue to fish in the net we've always been fishing and talking with the people we're comfortable talking to. But thanks be to God, that's not what Ashley found when she walked into the doors of this church. Over the course of the last few weeks, our congregation has dared to go outside of the walls of this church and go into our immediate neighborhoods that surround our church. Our immediate neighborhoods, from the jewelry store that's over there on the other side of the road, all the way back to Greer Middle School, all the way towards Saki, and all the way into the Planet Fitness Shopping Center. Members of our church have gone on prayer walks in those parts of our neighborhood. We've had the opportunity to feed God's sheep, to encounter with those who are our nearest neighbors to our church. Here's some of the ways we've shared love over those weeks. A visit to the dialysis center. To the dialysis center that's just back here on a little bit down Burton Wood. The dialysis center where many, many people come several times a week to receive the gift of life. A group from our church walked into the dialysis center and spoke to the lady behind the front desk, gave the lady a card, and let her know that our church was her neighbor and we were praying for her. we were offering love to her. Seated in the waiting room there were some family members of patients who were getting their dialysis. They told our church members what a wonderful lady this was who welcomed them every day when they came to dialysis. We loved our neighbor. We fed God's sheep. And then there were people who were standing in the parking lot outside of Jackson's cafeteria, and they were standing around the back of a pickup truck, two gentlemen, and they were just having a conversation. And some of your youngest and boldest evangelists at this church went up to those two gentlemen, asked them how they were doing, and told them that our church was praying for them. If you love me, if you love me, says Jesus, you'll feed my sheep. One of those men looked back at our young evangelist and said, I can use all the prayers I can get. There was a busy cashier inside of Jackson's cafeteria that, even though she was quite preoccupied with the line that she was waiting to check out, received a card that our church cares, that we're glad to be her neighbor. We've walked through some empty businesses. We've prayed for the workers who are working on New Hope Road to do the road construction and all the transition and all the change that's happening. We visited the bus stops, one of them over on Cotton Blossom and another over on New Hope Road. And we stood at those bus stops and thought about all the people who stood at that bus stop in whatever kind of ailments were outside. We left a card that we were glad to be their neighbor, and we were praying for them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a mission. We have a mission to go into all the world to love and serve God by our actions, by our deeds, by the way in which we encounter our neighbors. So Jesus is asking each of us that same question today. Do you love me? The first time he asked Simon, son of John, he said, do you love me more than these? He was talking about those fish. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these fish? This is your occupation. This is your life. Do you love me more than these? We're asked the same question. Do we love Jesus more than our jobs? More than our possessions? More than our place in our workplace or workforces? Do we love Jesus more than we love the pews in this sanctuary? Do we love Jesus more than the way we've always done things? If so, Jesus says, then go and serve me. Go and serve me. Friends, I hope that our mission will not only be completed, but really I hope that our mission will start. Because we hear Jesus say, follow me. Follow me. We've got work to do, so let's get busy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.